Greetings from Clay, West Virginia, and God bless you for tuning into the Fundamental Broadcasting Network today. We're going to be in James chapter number 1, and I'm going to bring to you an additional message that will go along with the series we've been doing in James. And we're going to bring this additional message concerning temptation. Now, last week we didn't really talk about temptation. We spoke of God's good work in salvation, and God's good will, and God's good word in salvation. But today I want to return to this idea of temptation. When you read James chapter number 1, you're going to see a repetition of certain words. And I want to read those verses to you. Anytime you see a repetition in the Bible, God is trying to send a message. And here in James chapter number 1, I want you to listen to what the Bible says beginning in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Listen, if you will, to verses 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And then, listen, if you will, lastly, to verse number 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's a theme here that's spoken of at least these three times, and that is concerning the tongue. The tongue. Now, his overall message here in James 1 is trials and temptations, and so what I'd like to do is bring to you a message concerning temptation and the tongue. Temptation and the tongue. First off, I want to begin with what he says in verse number 13 when the Bible says, let no man say. Let no man say. First off, I want to give this to you. There are some things that should never be said. There are some things that should never be said. Now, this obviously could be quite a lengthy list of things that should never be said. There are some words that we know in our culture, they show anger and they show haste with our speech, and they represent things that are vile or that are carnal, and those are words, curse words, that we should not use. We should not use even regular words to curse at men or women or to try and wish them ill will. These are things the Bible very plainly tells us not to do. But here specifically, when he says, let no man say, he's directing this idea here at what we say concerning God. And he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. In other words here, there is a natural inclination in the spirit of mankind and in our flesh that when things go wrong, we begin looking for someone to blame. After the shame, which is the initial reaction of Adam and Eve in the garden to their sin, the next thing upon their lips was blame, and that blame comes because of a guilty conscience and because of shame. So as soon as man feels shame, he begins to look at something to blame his shame on, trying to get that guilt off of himself and get it onto something else. I've preached a message before to our people on the blame game from Genesis chapter number 3. If it weren't so tragic, it would be somewhat humorous when God comes down and he says to the man, what happened to you, man? What did you do? And the man says, it wasn't me. It was the woman thou gavest me. And then we see in that passage that the woman says, it was the serpent that beguiled me. And what happens there is God begins to pronounce judgment on the serpent. And then he pronounces judgment on Eve. And then he pronounces judgment on Adam. And I want you to understand that in that passage, no one was guiltless. And everyone received their proper justice for their portion of the blame. But I want to draw your attention to what Adam said there. Adam did not say it was the woman who did it. He said it was the woman that thou gavest me. Adam, if you will, said, I'll tell you what, God, if it had just been me and you, everything would have been fine. But you gave me a woman. And Adam, having now sinned because he ate the fruit, trying to cover up his own shame, is casting guilt not only on Eve, but he's pointing the finger at God. And ever since, friend, I want you to know, man has been pointing the finger at God. We've been blaming him for things that go wrong. If you talk to people who are unsaved, oftentimes they will use this argument. How could a loving God allow so much suffering in the world? In other words, they're pointing the finger at God. They're saying that God is to blame. They're saying that he is the issue. They're saying, if you will, that he is the origin of evil and suffering and that he is the problem. But I want you to know that all of those things are sin. The Bible plainly says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I want you to think about this for a moment. I want to give you a strong word of warning. Be careful of being angry at nothing. Now that may sound strange to you, but I want to explain what I mean. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been upset at circumstances that were outside of your control? In other words, you were mad and you knew there was no way you could change the situation. I often think about children in a situation like this. Sometimes it's hard in our bus or our van ministry. Even sometimes in our church when we counsel children and teenagers and they come to us and they say, my parents or my grandparents act this certain way. What can I do about it? And these children and these teenagers, they get very angry because they realize they're in a situation they cannot change. And sometimes it's frustrating trying to counsel them to continue to honor their parents and their grandparents, even though their parents and grandparents are not honoring God. We try and do our very best to get them to honor the authority that God has placed in their life and therefore honor God in that fashion. But I want you to understand, when you are out of control, when there's nothing you can do to change the circumstance, many times those kids, many times those teenagers, and many times even adults in situations they cannot control, they begin to point the finger at God and to blame Him. Why would God allow me to be in a home situation like this? Why would God allow me to be in a situation in my life like this when I'm trying to do this or trying to do that in order to honor Him? The Bible says those things ought never to be uttered. Many times when we're angry and bitter and we cannot pinpoint an object or a person, we find that we are angry at the sovereign God of our circumstance. We often think we've reached a conclusion about what is going on in our life and we pinpoint blame and we begin to act based on that blame. We get mad at God, so we get out of church, or we get mad at what has happened in our life and we begin to blame someone. We begin to act and we begin to react, and most times we just end up speaking and acting very foolishly. You see, there are some things that should never, ever be said. Can I tell you something about your life? If your life is full of confusion and pain, God is not the author of that. It is sin that brings confusion and pain. Obedience to God's word brings blessing. You say, preacher, that has not been my experience. Well, friend, we're not here to talk about your experience. We're here to talk about the truth of God's word. And God's word is true, and it trumps your experience any day. It's kind of like the verse that says that if you raise children right, if we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Let me ask you a question. I know a lot of parents who have come to me and said, well, preacher, I trained them up right, and when they're older, I believe they're not going to depart from the path. Can I ask you a question? Which one of us can honestly claim to have raised our children right? Is there any one of us that can say we're a perfect parent, we've done everything right? Is it possible for any human being to stand before the throne of God and say, I did my part and God did not do His? No, friend, it does not work that way. Understand this, there are some things that should never be said. Secondly, in verses 19 through 21, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Number one, there are some things that should never be said. Number two, all things should be considered before they are said. I know a lot of people who come to me and say, well, I'll tell you what happened. Let me just go ahead and tell you, well, you're probably wrong. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Well, you probably don't know. Even if you are right about what happened, what are you accomplishing by rehearsing it? Can I say something to you? Not everything that gets repeated is true, and not everything true needs repeated. There's a lot of things said that get said over and over and over again, and they're not true. And there are a lot of things that are true that do not need to be said over and over again. Oftentimes we get the idea that now that we know what's going on, now that we have an idea of what happened in our life, that we are going to figure this thing out and we're going to fix it. Hey, newsflash, you're not God. And when you flare your temper, when you get upset and you begin confronting people in the wrong spirit and in an unnecessary fashion and in unnecessary times, you are not working out the righteousness of God. See, the wrath of man doesn't do that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36 is a great verse concerning this. I always like to refer back to the book of Proverbs and specifically to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to things that need to be said and when it comes to how we use our mouth. I can't imagine how the Lord Jesus held his tongue in so many different circumstances. But I want you to listen to the Bible. It says in Matthew 12, 36, Jesus said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That word idle means unnecessary, pointless, useless. In other words, you said it, but it did not need to be said. Friend, I want you to know that there are some things about the judgment seat of God I fear, and this is one of them. I do not want to stand before God for my unnecessary language because I feel that there's probably been a lot. Slander, gossip, foolish speaking and foolish and sexual jesting are sins rarely done in moderation. These types of sins that we're talking about, they're unnecessary and yet they don't usually happen in a small amount. Very rarely do you ever see a movie that has just a little bit of innuendo. Usually it's filled with innuendo. If it has any, it has much. Rarely do you meet someone who gossips a little, but you meet people who gossip all the time. That's why the Bible says in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. That word superfluity of naughtiness means just an overabundance, a massive amount. And the Bible says the Word of God is the opposite of all of these things. Trust what God says and trust that God will act. You know, there are some people that just become known for having a lying attitude, a lying spirit. And it's obvious, it seems, to everybody but them that they deal with this. In fact, it says in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. In other words, the way you speak may deceive yourself, but it will not deceive others. Let me give you number three. Number one is, there are some things that should never be said. Number two, all things should be considered before they are said. And number three, what is said reveals a great deal about us. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple question, and I hope it doesn't upset you. I've asked it to our church. I've asked it to some teenagers. It did upset the teenagers. It didn't upset our church as much. Do you think that you are good? Now, I know some of you are going, oh, no, preacher, I know there's none good but God, and I'm not righteous. No, this is what I'm asking. Do you think you're a good person? If you think you're a good person, have you listened to yourself talk? Have you listened to yourself talk? Honestly, have you heard the things that pass through your mind and through your lips on a daily basis? And you say, I'm a pretty good person. And yet you speak that way daily? You see, the Bible says here in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In other words, if you are saved at all, whatever religion you've got certainly is not active and it certainly hasn't done much for you. Faith without works is dead. You know, if love for one another is the great mark of true Christianity, and we are constantly speaking ill of one another, don't you think that maybe there's a message here for us concerning our Christianity and how false it is? The Bible says, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, by your love one for another. Listen to the way Jesus put it in Matthew 12, 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let me, in closing, real quickly give you an example of this. I've told you, first off, there are some things that should never be said. Secondly, all things should be considered before they are said. And thirdly, what is said reveals a great deal about us. Job is an incredible example of this. Job is a great example of this, and I want to show you how Job got tripped up. We sometimes, when we look back at the book of Job, I think the average Christian would look back and say, Job was just an example of doing everything right. And that just means they haven't read the book very well. Because Job actually has a progression of the way things go in his life. And he goes through exactly what I've been discussing with you today. This temptation to use his tongue in an evil manner. Listen to just a few verses from the book of Job, and I think that this will make sense to you. In Job chapter number 1, we see that after all of the events of his life, the Bible says, verse number 20, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. In other words, Job did not, at the beginning of all this, Job did not blame God. He did not blame God. He sat down, and at first, Job said nothing. He's a very wise man in that regard. He was a very wise man. In that regard, he said nothing and proved his righteousness. Then, after worshiping God, he collects his thoughts, and he speaks in verse 21. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible says in Job 1:22, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." But I want you to listen to what a great change takes place between Job 1:22, when Job was not speaking, and when Job collected his thoughts and did speak. And then the worst, let me say this real quickly here, the worst temptation that Satan ever brought to Job was his friends. There is something about a crowd that emboldens us to speak in ways we should not. Listen to Job 3, verse number 1. "And this, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it." Job, surrounded by friends in a crowd, begins to speak very foolishly. And friends, we have the same temptation when it comes to our tongue. By the end of the book of Job, Job must repent before God when God says, "Who do you think you are to be asking these questions?" Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's someone listening today that does not know you, they would realize that the sin of the tongue is enough to condemn us to hell for all of eternity, but you came and died and shed your blood on the cross and was buried and resurrected the third day so that we may be saved. I pray, Father, for the saint that's listening, that we would be deeply, deeply reproved by the Holy Spirit of God to live in such a way and speak in such a way that pleases thee. Keep us until the next broadcast, but if you choose to take us home, we'll gladly meet thee in the air. I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.